Coming up next, we have Dr. Brian Rowe. Brian is with the AED, or Agriculture, Environmental, and Developmental Economics. You have to get up early to remember that. Department. Brian is, what have you been in, 15 years, longer than that?
18
years with Ohio State University. And he's got an interest in food waste and national security and in terms of having enough food for our people. And so we had a title here we gave, Waste Not, Want Not, The Challenges of Meeting Food Security Goals by Reducing Consumer Food Waste. And so it's a big title. It's probably a big issue if we stop to think about it. You know, I go back when I had my children at home, I probably didn't waste as much food at home as I do now because we had somebody to feed the leftovers to. Now it seems like we eat out a little bit more, and I'm trying to lose weight, so I don't necessarily clean my plate off at the restaurant. But that's a change, too. When I was a kid growing up, we were told, you know, you eat everything on your plate. But food was probably less, more scarce than it is now. And so what are you looking at? What are you seeing out there in terms of food waste in the U.S. today?
Is this working? Is it working now?
Yeah, here.
There we go.
No, turn it around. Turn it around. Turn it that way.
Ah, brilliant.
Yes. It's counterintuitive.
Well, imagine this. You're out in a big field looking at the corn crop coming in, and you decide just for the heck of it to plow down about 30% of the field before you harvest it. That's what the USDA estimates are right now, is that about 30% of the U.S. food supply is wasted. That food that's intended to nourish humans never makes it to our tummies, basically.
Okay. And where is this waste at? Is it on the production side, the processing side, the consumption side? Where do we find it that we're having the greatest leak, if you will, of food that we should be consuming?
Well, the biggest culprit is, well, we're looking at each other right now. Consumers are, in developed countries, including the United States, the biggest contributor to wasted food. Both in our own homes and front of the house restaurant, when we go to restaurants and order that huge meal, eyes bigger than the stomach, either doggy bag it and then let it go rotten in our fridge, or just leave it on the plate and the restaurant has to throw that food away because of health reasons.
Correct. So, you know, as I started thinking about that, I saw a report one time when they talked about, we back up 50 years, you went out to get a meal, the portion size that was given to you at a restaurant compared to the portion size today, we've grown quite a bit. Of course, we've personally grown too as
sure.
a society. Mm-hmm. But again, do we see a trend in restaurants wanting to go the other way, or is it simply that as Americans and consumers, we expect that, and it's going to be hard to go the other way without either reducing price or retraining our mind to. So what do we see in terms of the trend out there in terms of portion size when we're out eating?
There's just a little bit of a trend towards smaller portion size, but mainly in high-end restaurants. I don't think the mainstream fast casual, fast food chains have yet really addressed portion size adequately. There's been a little bit of retrenchment in universities, I think, are trying to think about portion size more. Because when you're in a buffet setting, kind of an all-you-care-to-eat setting, there's definitely some financial incentives for the restaurateur to also encourage folks to kind of right-size their plate, so they're spending less on total product as well.
True. Well, I think, but, you know, I like to think I'm a quasi-economist.
You are. I agree.
You know, and if I go to a buffet and all of a sudden we have all you can eat and I plunk down $20 or whatever for all you can eat, I want to get my money's worth. So I usually overindulge and then complain about it for the next 2 days that I ate too much. And so is there some retraining on the consumer side that needs to happen as well?
Yeah, what you've seen in more adept restaurateurs and university cafeterias, even high school cafeterias and the like, one trend is to move to trayless dining. I don't know, how many of you in your cafeterias have no trays in your cafeterias anymore? Show of hands. How many of you have trays in your cafeteria? Okay, still trays are out there. What they found is that when you take the tray away and you're only presented with the plate, you choose portion sizes that are probably a bit more appropriate to healthy eating. And so that then cuts down on the waste because you're choosing the right portion size, you're eating all of it, and there's no waste. And that allows you to actually purchase less food coming in the back door to feed out those folks in the front door.
Okay, so then basically I don't worry about it falling off my plate because if it falls off my plate, it's on the floor. If I have the tray catches it. So.
And then there's others who have been actually inching down that plate size as well with the same effect. So.
With the same effect.
Yeah.
So how far do we have to go? I mean, we still have, I mean, we always hear the story about we need to feed the world or agriculture needs to feed the world. But I know even in the U.S., you know, I didn't say we have plenty of food, but we don't always have it distributed where it needs to be. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Does that come into this in any way, shape, or form that we have kind of the feast or famine areas?
Yeah.
I mean, we have a county down in southeastern Ohio that has no grocery store in the entire county.
Yeah.
And I mean, we start talking about food deserts, and I know I'm going on a tangent here that you might not be prepared to talk about.
No, that's fine.
But again, how do we redistribute the food that we do have so that we're meeting the needs?
Yeah, technology is really stepping up here. There are a number of restaurants who just because they have to keep enough food on supply in case there's a big rush at the end of the day, will typically have, and maybe some of you who've worked in fast food and fast casual places know this, there's usually a lot of really good food at the end of the day that for whatever reason isn't going to make it for another 24 or 48 hours. There's this great app called U.S. Food Rescue. It's working in Columbus and other areas around the country. You as a restaurateur can go in and say, hey, every day around 6, will you check in with me? I may have 5 loaves of bread, 100 bagels, 15 sandwiches. And then donor agencies can also log in and say, hey, every day around 7, I need X many sandwiches, this many bagels will be useful, et cetera. And then individuals who are working through churches or just individual volunteers can jump in and say, hey, I would love to be a runner. I see there's a route here from the Panera on High Street to the YMCA out on Fifth Avenue. It's 2 miles. I'm going to jump in there, take my car down, pick it up at 5 and deliver it by 5:30, and boom, we've all already taken food that was not going to be fed, going to be dumped in the landfill, going to feed hungry neighbors nearby, and it's a win-win all around because of these new technologies. U.S. Food Rescue, it's called.
Cool. And how long has that been around?
That's been around for a few years. It was called Community Plates in Columbus, and it had various names, but now it's sweeping nationwide. And there are other similar technologies popping up in metropolitan areas all around to help make that connection, to take unwanted food at the retail level and make it immediately available to hungry neighbors and people.
Good. I want to take a break right here in the middle and open it up to questions from the audience here. That's why we call this Ask the Expert. Brian is our expert. Any questions related to this topic? If you could walk up to the mic, that would be wonderful.
Wade through the mud, get to the mic.
Well, I saw enough Facebook posts last night that if you're coming today, bring the four-wheel drive and wear your boots. So we should be prepared.
I do some volunteer work at a food pantry, and over the years we seem to have a decrease in the amount of food we get from restaurants and supermarkets. It seems to go counter to what we really need to be doing. For whatever reason, sometimes they say, no, like leftover from the buffet, we can't get it.
Interesting. So that's actually opposite the trends I've been seeing at the national level. So thank goodness it's... I'm sorry that's happening in your situation, but I think nationally we're seeing an uptick in donations from major supermarkets and restaurateurs to the food agency kind of community. And part of that's being driven by state-level issues as well. For example, in Massachusetts, it's now illegal for supermarkets and restaurants to throw out food into landfills that is capable of being consumed and still good.
As of yesterday, we ran out of meat. We don't have any meat to give to the people who come, who are needy.
Yeah, meat and dairy is always a tough one. I know for a lot of food agencies, the breads, the prepackaged goods are always in addition. There's movements, however, to really try to make those connections. Obviously, it's going to be spotty in terms of the way it's playing out in your neighborhoods.
We can use the food and give it out to people who really need it.
Yeah, agreed.
I just want to make that comment.
question. You just made me think about, you know, as we're moving food from grocery stores or from restaurants, again, we have a lot of health requirements that mm-hmm. we need to follow. We have expiration dates on a lot of packaging. You know, is there going to be any, I mean, how does that play into this whole transfer of food in terms of meeting the health requirements, or, you know, is this day-old bread that expired a day ago? Most experts, I think, will tell you it's still safe to consume. It may not be as soft. It may not be as, but at what point in time does food need to be thrown away? And are we throwing it away too soon because of expiration dates or concerns about?
Let me ask the audience. Suppose you get a jug of milk out of the fridge and the date was like 4 days ago. Do you just dump it immediately? A lot of nods. Sniff and dump, or just chug away? How many just? All right. So the dates on most food products are merely about quality. Very rarely do they have anything to do with safety. And so we did this really interesting experiment where we had milk that we aged 15 days, 25 days, 30 days, 40 days. And then we had people smell it and decide if this were in their fridge, would they toss it out or not? And then we did the same exact experiment, except we took the labels off. No dates were on it, and people just had to rely upon their nose. And the intended discard rate went down by about 40%. About 40% more people said they would keep the milk and use it just because we took the dates off of the milk, suggesting that the date is really driving a lot of people to dump good food prematurely. And so think about milk, about 4 gallons per person per year is dumped down the drain. If we could cut that in half, that's a huge amount of savings to individuals.
Yes, that would be. And again, that would then free up other products to move into other markets.
Exactly, yeah.
Other questions from the audience?
All right, here comes a good one.
How does the U.S. food rescue work? Because food gets old really quick, so mm-hmm. Who do they give it to?
Yeah, so it's places like YMCAs, food donation agencies, food banks, places like that who are able to serve it nearly immediately or within the next 12 hours. And so they typically have standing orders. Soup kitchens, places like that. So people that know where hungry individuals live, they might only be a couple miles away, but neighborhoods can vary pretty drastically. And so then, for example, I know in Columbus, there's a Panera right there on campus. And every day at 6 and some mornings, weekend mornings at 9, they have pickups. And a food runner, it's called, will get on their app and say, oh, there's a connection that needs to be made. I want to do some volunteer work. I'm going to drive my car to the Panera. I walk in. I tell them I'm with the group. They give me a big bag of food. And I drive it 2 or 3 miles away to the food bank, to the soup kitchen, wherever might need it. So it's pretty slick. It's not everywhere yet, but it's kind of moving its way across the country. Thanks for the question.
Another question.
The other thing about food dates is a lot of times it prohibits people from donating the food. And there's massive work to reform the legislation and the regulations around that, and to even build in some tax incentives, even at the farm level, to encourage gleaning. Because a lot of farmers with produce that's ready for processing and immediate consumption, some years the market just isn't in a place where they're going to go out and harvest that. And it's very costly for them to do that gleaning by themselves and then transport it. And so there's some talk of getting more widespread tax incentives in place to help encourage that harvesting or gleaning of food from farm that might not make it in a commercially viable setting, but people would love to donate it if they just had a little bit of cash to cover the transportation costs.
Sure. That's cool. Probably have time. Oh, we got about 5 minutes yet. So what other tangent do we want to go on here, Brian?
Well, despite our best efforts, it's always best to try to eliminate the waste, not create the waste in the first place. But still, there's going to be a lot of waste. For example, if you go to your average landfill, about 20% of the content of that landfill is food, which is kind of mind-boggling that 1 in 5 of the items in a landfill is food. There must be something better we can do about that. So there's some very interesting technologies. One is called the Black Soldier Fly. I don't know if you've heard about this or not, but it's pretty nifty. You can take food that's no longer able to be consumed by humans, even by most animals. You can put it in a bin. You put in the larvae of the black soldier fly into this.
Okay. Yep.
And lickety-split, they eat through this tons and tons in a matter of a day or two. The larvae turn into flies, and they walk out of the pit. And then what you do is you surround that pit with chickens. And the chickens then eat the flies, and you've got a cheap, wonderful source of feed for chickens. It's very high in protein and very high in desirable fats. It's got a nice amino acid profile. Chickens love it. And then, obviously, chickens are getting a cheap feed source and are ready for market by feeding on that cheap feed source to close the loop.
Now, if we take that, and I thought you were going to go to compost, not the black soldier fly, but, I mean, yeah. even composting
sure.
and then turning that into a soil amendment to mm-hmm. grow more food is probably a better use than sending it to the landfill.
Yes, and there's a huge demand for composting facilities right now, in at least in the central Ohio and the Cincinnati region. There were a number of organizations that kind of went out of business a few years back, but there's a huge interest from consumers to have curbside pickup of food waste and other organics. And so I think there's really an opportunity for folks with space adjacent to urban areas to perhaps put in a Class 2 compost facility to accept this and to create a lot of value-added products that can go back onto the land.
Yeah, and not only food waste. I thought it was interesting. I was at a compost facility outside of St. Louis here a while back, and they accepted all kinds of yard waste. They had all yeah. kinds of expired food waste that came into that facility. And they were marketing then the output as black gold, they were calling it. But
yeah.
it was a very nice compost. And so, you know, that's another way to recycle and at least reuse, if not reduce, food waste.
Yeah.
We have time for one more question from the audience.
So here's a question for you guys. When you get home at night, been a long day, and you're given two options. Let's eat the leftovers in the fridge or let's order pizza. How many of you order pizza? Yeah, that's a tough one. This is a great simple step, though, if you can figure out how to be clever with your leftovers to start reducing that food waste, cut down on your family's shopping bills, put a few more bucks in your pocket, and help improve the food security situation in the country, because that's going to bring down food prices and make them more affordable for those who are still looking for food.
And speaking of food prices, totally unrelated, but our friends down in Florida, I guess, are having a mess.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of damage to particularly the produce industry coming out of Florida, yeah.
So.
And some dairy operations, too, I think, are having some troubles, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, yep. All right. Well, thank you, Brian. We will go.